where your friends at? First before that was yo, where your friends will take any of the fine ones. No strings attached, I keep it wireless. Hey. She got that bomb, I'm about to get it fired up. Fuck me fast, ESL, ain't fucking with the dollar. Heart throb more like a heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker. Yeah.
Hey, Jesus, oh no, I can't save her. But I want to taste her, she's sweet like Jaeger. Party all night like we out in Vegas. I'm too wrong, oh. Hurt my cologne. Wow. Yeah, say she smoke, but yeah, she never smoke
strong.
Make her cough like she got bronchitis.
Hash on your hits, always get it even higher. I
bet she a freak.
Notes like Mariah.
Everything about me
seem too excited.
Maybe cause I'm flyer than all these squares. I don't really care, just really wanna know
where your friends at. Bring a tense at. Where your friends at?
Bring a tense at. Where your friends at? Bring a tense at.
I see a
JD's on the beat one more time.
Bring a tense at. Where your friends at?
Yeah.
Bring a tense at. Where your friends at? Bring a tense at. I see a Barbie thing, I got a kiss for.
Yeah, this was just, you know, the song called Ken Swag. The song before this was called I'm Blown with DJ Pumbaa. Yogi on the first verse, that's me, and Owo on the second, and yo, DJ Pumbaa on the third, you feel me?
Yeah, shout out to DJ Pumbaa, man, that's the man right there.
Yeah, man, he be making some raw beats, so, some other beats, man.
You know, this is my story, even if you don't know me. It's the rise of a king. Yeah. This is all I know, trying to make a life out of these verses and the stories from my night. Friends never understanding, so they fade into the back. They'll probably reappear once I'm taking over the map. Fuck it though, fuck it though. People are shady, I couldn't trust myself, so how could I trust my lady? She say my heart's big, you know I have to feel it. I fell in love once, now I just conceal it. Had a couple chances, now I'm taking plane trips to a studio where they say you are making great hits. My whole scene's underrated and underestimated, but that only makes it worth it when you really start to make it. Fucking 9 to 5, I won't punch a clock. I'm destined to be great, got me feeling like Pac. But that's enough Pac quotes. I'm angry when I drop notes. I'm from where they will put you down if they think you got hope. My city's shining now, I never been so proud. Windows down, speakers up, it's never been so loud. Be humble, but always keep it real. I don't make murder music, I just write killing feels. It's the rise of the king, I'm glad you got to hear it. I got a moment, I'm glad that you can listen. I think we're about to do what nobody's ever done. Yeah, what nobody's ever done. We about to take it all. And I'ma keep singing until she takes it all. We about to shut it down. And I'ma keep going until I have the crown. It's the rise of the king, I'm glad you got to hear it. I got a moment, I'm glad that you can listen. I think we about to do what nobody's ever done. Yeah, what nobody's ever done. We about to take it all. And I'ma keep singing until she takes it all. We about to shut it down. Yeah. And I'ma keep going until I have the crown. Lonely at the top, lonely on the road. Opened up Pandora's box, watch it all unfold. Dreaming about paradise, running like a pair of nights. Be happy, I'm blessing you, couldn't share this life. Used to hate it all, never felt like I deserved it. Looked into the mirror, damn it, I was perfect. All I need is me, some music and some peace. I'm happy you can see, don't be sleeping on my dreams.
It's the rise of the king, I'm glad you got to hear it. I got a moment, I'm glad that you can listen. I think we got to do what nobody's ever done. What nobody's ever done. We about to take it all. And I'ma keep singing until she takes it off. We about to shut it down. And I'ma keep going until I have the crown.
Happy birthday.
She fucking with me, she fucking with me.
She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. As y'all know what the deal is, kick game so the girls try to feel this. Cop a feel if you want, yo, it's all good. Blunt full of tree, yeah, that's all wood. Banging like the Carter Foe, hanging with the audibles. Oh, you didn't know, y'all, they gotta blow. Took a little plane trip, now I'm on a spaceship. I'm with your girl, hey, bruh, don't say shit. Get your face took off in a minute. I blast off, you can start when I finish. And I ain't done, yo, I'm barely getting started. Panties coming off, she the life of the party. She wanna know how low can I go. I said I'm all froze cause it's chilly on the road. But girl, I'm on the road, if you with it we can go. And she really, really down and she wanna drive a show. Come on.
You run a hella game, but I ain't slangin' no D. Know you wanna fuck her, but she fucking with me.
She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me.
I rolled up in the club now. Shut it down, beat bang like a touchdown. I'm a beast, what a sav though. 5'8", skinny jeans with a bad hoe. Oh, was that yours? My mistake. I'ma eat it all, dinner plate. Working real hard, yo, it's been a race. Swallow up my dick, I'ma ask how to win a taste. Take your shirt off, what you working with? Cali heartbreaker, baby, it can hurt a bit. I spit crack, push rap by the kilo. Her man saying fuck you, but I don't know CeeLo. Got your girl like she Neo. And Spanish girls too, cause they say I'm so frio. Yeah, that's why your bitch want me. Tell her she can come fuck with a real G.
Fuck with me.
You run a hella game, but I ain't slangin' no D. Know you wanna fuck her, but she fucking with me.
She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me.
Might be on the phone with you, but she got my dick off in her mouth. Tryna act like you be really pimping, but that ain't what pimping all about. Pimping all about.
Come on. You only had one shot. You should've gave it all you got. Cause when she say she with a girlfriend, she really be in my spot.
Fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. She fucking with me, she fucking with me. She fucking with me, your girl fucking with me. You running hella game,
dang.
But ain't slinging no D.
Ain't slinging no D.
But she fucking with, hey,
let
she
me
fucking
ask
with
you.
Me.
Sorry, let me ask you. When you how do you come up with the song, or what is, you know,
what
do you
it,
base
what
it on
that?
Yeah, you know what, what's on every song, there's a purpose, there's something that happened to you did or you want to do, or,
you know, man, it's different. Honestly, man, I try to do my best to just keep my music as real as possible. I feel,
but
like
that's just hard.
It is, man. It's a huge key, though. Like, I want people to connect to my music because I'm telling the truth, you know. I can't talk about stuff that I've never been about. So that's really what it comes
call
down
you
to.
On it later, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, man, someone's gonna say, "Hey, I heard you rapping about this and that. Are you really about that?" And then it comes down to that. For me, man, I can only rap what I've experienced. You know, I can only rap about growing up in Santa Cruz, like some of the struggles that I've been through, some
what
of the struggles
of
I see my homies going through. All around, really, man. I lived on West Side, I lived in Capitola, I even like lived in Watsonville for a little bit. That was a whole nother story, man. Watsonville's a whole nother story, man.
It's hard.
It's definitely hard. But yeah, man, you know, I get inspired really just by the things that happen in my life, man. And I try to base my music off that. So later on in life, if someone's in the same position, they can look at it and be like, hey, this guy did it. He's fine. You know, I can do the same shit.
That's tough. How old are you?
Right now, I'm 24.
24. That's young, man.
Yeah, man, I feel old, dude. I feel old, man. I'm like, why am I not on already? Why am I not famous already, man?
That's young, man.
Yeah, man, we're trying, man. We're definitely out here pushing, man.
That's right. Where are we gonna play for them? Or what did we just heard? We just heard Puma, obviously. Shout out to Puma. He won the beat battle again for the second year,
man.
You know?
Yogi's super quiet this interview. It's weird.
Oh, no,
for those
no,
of y'all that
just,
know Yogi, he's like really quiet
no,
for this
it's
one.
Just I took a little trip to the medical cannabis club, got me some of that wax.
Yeah.
So it got me on dabbed out. So, you know, I'm just over here dabbing.
You do dabs?
Oh, dabbing. I love dabs. I got some wax right here. Look, check this out, DJ.
Check us out, DJ. See how we run it.
You feel me?
Hey, but yo, what did you play off your phone, man? Some
Some shit with DJ Pumbaa. The song called I'm Blown with Young Flakes on the beat. I was on the first verse. And then the other song we played was Ken Swag with All on the Hook, All on the first verse, and I was on the second one. Yeah, there's going to be some songs that are going to be on my album, some real good shit that's coming out.
Yeah, man, shout out to Pumbaa, man. Like, Pumbaa, people don't realize it. Like how good that guy is, man. Really on.
He's spread the whole camp, you know what I mean? His homie Young Flakes slapping.
That's dope. Yeah, I mean, I admire every single one of you, you know? I can't rhyme for shit to depend on my life. I suck, dude.
I mean, everybody can, man. I think everybody can, like, rhyme words together. Like, that's something that anybody can do if they put the work in. But
no, but hey, you guys can do it on point, you know?
Hey, I just have one thing, though. I think Alwa needs to spit some bars. I mean, we just talking about some shit. I'm calling Alwa out to spit some bars.
Right on the
spot. On the spot, bro. Like, just spit some
shit. On the spot.
I think you need to spit some acapella shit.
Oh, shit. This dude wants some acapella shit. This dude really wants.
Yeah, we got some more acapella shit coming up on Free Radio, or actually the stream of Free Radio. It's Bathroom Spears Broadside 6 to 8 show on December 5th, 2013. If you're tuned in on the stream, and we're hoping to be broadcasting by Sunday. Yes, I believe it or not, broadcasting by Sunday. That's just a hope. But it looks like it could be happening. So stay tuned on the stream, and stay tuned if you want to call in. Of course, the call-in numbers are always 427-3772, 427-3772, area code 831, and 469-3119, 469-3119. So stay tuned for Bathroom Spears Broadside's call-in if you are listening on December 5th. It's a live show, Thursday evening. Kind of cold out there, so let me know what's happening, and we'll talk. Who owns the plants? Who owns
Sean.
And Sean, you say that in persecution there is strength.
That's right, because in America, we don't run away. We fight. We stand up. We say no to the oppression. We get stronger. We get smarter in order to fight off that oppression.
That's a very positive attitude.
That's right.
What have you done recently to fight off the oppression?
Voted for Obama.
No.
Oh, dear. Back of the class to you.
I've written many, many articles.
Well, you do have a great poster we're going to be using tomorrow night at the task force.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have my ways, and I definitely am trying to do what I can to make our fight the good fight.
Thank you. We've been talking with us.
That's right.
Thank you, Sean. Where's an illegal smoker, evil man? What's your name, sir?
Godfisher.
And what happened that, what led you to this criminal behavior?
It was in the morning, after 6:30 in the morning, a cop drove up to me and gave me a citation for smoking a cigarette at Lincoln Ave, off of Pacific Ave.
And were you within a block of Pacific? Was that the deal?
I was leaving, so yeah, I was within a block, yeah. Yep.
Were you blowing smoke in everybody's face? There was no one around.
No.
But don't you realize that little children might have suddenly appeared at 6:30 and been hurt by your smoking?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What did the officer say to you? Anything?
No, he just wrote me a citation.
Let's turn to slow speed.
$95.
You gonna go pay it?
Yeah, I'm gonna go pay it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna like you after a while. They'll write you more citations.
Yeah, I hope not. I haven't got.
So that's $195 for a smoking ticket, according to this homeless person.
Too many. I got two camping tickets and a smoking citation.
And you paid all of them off?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Smoking is more expensive than camping?
Yeah, it is. $195. Uh-huh. Camping is $155.
Wow. So, I don't know what to say about that, except we've been talking with
Don Peterson.
Thank you, man. Well, actually, here's a second report about the shutdown of
Firefoot.
Tell me about that.
First with one cruiser, one officer, and then an SUV, two more cruisers, and they shut it down on account of, I think, what was the word that they used?
Mutilating the grass and being at the park until after dark. Or after dark, yeah.
Had you been to this event before, or is this your first time?
This event's been going on for 37 years.
So they decided to, this tradition had gone on long enough.
Mm-hmm. Apparently so.
And did they give any explanation as to why they decided to change Santa Cruz tradition?
Because apparently state parks had talked to the cops and asked them to shut it down.
Who asked them to?
State parks.
State parks.
I
see.
From what I heard is that it was a push from Take Back Santa Cruz.
And where did you hear that from?
From some people that were also at Firefoy the night it got shut down.
And we've been talking with, your name is?
Donovan.
Thank you, Donovan. And your name, Hula Hoop Woman?
My name is Raina.
Thank you, Raina. We're talking with
Ioannis.
And what would you like to say, sir?
I just want you to keep in records this simple phrase. Thieves and liars, liars and thieves. That's all.
Thank you. And we have the monsieur who sometimes gets kicked out of the area. What's your name, sir?
That would be James.
And James, what have you been hassled recently? Anything you wish to say?
They're definitely giving out their quota of camping tickets here around the holidays. I guess they have their light bills to pay too, so I hope they've gotten enough from me at least to leave some of the other people alone. Happy holidays, and
when was the last time you got a ticket?
A couple days ago.
For what?
For sleeping for sleeping on a a parking lot area where I was very obscure and very not not in anybody's way or not around anybody, creating no problems, having no dirt or filth around me. Or, but anyhow, as I said, I hope that this will change after they get their quota.
I doubt it, but I hope your hope is right.
Well, happy holidays.
We've been talking with
James.
Thank you, James.
Did we talk about this yet on air? I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's your name?
Stephen Joakinson.
Stephen, you say you got a camping ticket?
Yeah, I was just sleeping under the wharf last night on the beach, and I got woken up at about 12:30. I was there for about maybe 20 minutes. And
alone or in company?
I was alone with my dog.
And how many cops showed up?
It was just one officer by himself. He was wearing glasses. I have the ticket right here. Let's see what his name was.
I'll take a look here. Actually legible. Usually they're not, but sometimes they are.
KD something.
Let's take a look here. Looking at this yellow slip of paper. K. Delby, Delby, KD 135, Police Department. This is... say warrant? Do you have a warrant?
No, under wharf. That's
under
where
wharf.
That's where I was sleeping on
Santa
the beach.
Santa Cruz Municipal Code, camping, 6360108A1. That's sleeping. You got a sleeping ban ticket. You were engaged in criminal sleeping. I have no sympathy for you, sir. What kind of a man are you? Don't you realize that homeless people are not allowed to sleep in Santa Cruz?
It's ridiculous.
Well, you just got to learn to, you know, be richer. It's very simple.
Yeah, well, I'm just traveling around while I can. I mean, I'm 21 years old. I'm from Florida, around the greater Tampa Bay area. And here I am all the way across the country. I haven't been west of the Mississippi before this summer. So, I mean, I'm loving every minute, and I have no regrets. I have a few tickets. I have a ticket that I got in San Francisco for sleeping in the park, in Golden Gate Park. But they seem to be more lenient in a way, like the officers who gave me the citation told me that I could have it handled by speaking with the DA assistant. But I actually just was able to leave a message with a citation number and information, and the officer told me, don't worry about it, it's just an infraction, and you can leave the city, because I was actually trying to leave that day. So, and then now the same thing's happened to me in Santa Cruz. You know, I'm trying to, like, keep on traveling on my ways, and now I have the citation that I feel like is holding over my head. I don't want to leave and have a warrant, and you know what I mean? It's just like...
You could come to the Huff meeting and talk more about this. I'm not sure what kind of assistance we can give you. We meet Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe, so come on down there.
Thank you very much.
And in the meantime, go out to the Homeless Lack of Service Center, ask to get a letter testifying that on that night, last night it was?
Yes, sir.
There was no room in the Paul Lee Loft shelter and at the Armory, although they may tell you there was. Although, how would you know that? And you have to be psychic, I guess.
I actually asked the officer about where I should sleep, and he just said, out of sight. He didn't even inform me that there was a shelter that I could sleep in.
Right, and there usually isn't, so, you know, that's the story with that. Definitely, you know, keep in touch as to what's happened, only because, not because it's necessarily going to help you, but because it'll help us track what's going on. That's my main interest.
Yeah, it's all about helping each other.
You can come to the ACLU tonight if you want. There's a meeting 3 blocks away in about 20 minutes.
I plan to.
Okay, well, we'll see you there then.
Thanks a lot. Your name's Robert?
I am. Great to meet you. Same here.
And actually, these are interviews at the Monday Red Church meal, which happens every Monday at the Calvary Episcopal Church downtown Santa Cruz at Cedar and Lincoln, I guess it is. A lot of folks gather, particularly as the weather gets colder, and eat, and also I go around and interview them. However, when I tried to find out from Monica Martinez of the Lack of Homeless Services Center whether they are still, in fact, dismissing tickets, even if the Armory's open and not full, she wouldn't talk to me. We got a caller, though. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Uncle Robert, Uncle Dennis here.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to let you know the stream is working fine.
Excellent. I'm glad. I think with you watching it, it doesn't dare go off.
I just wanted to let folks who are listening to your show know that for the second night in a row and for the next couple of nights, temperatures will be dropping at least to the low 30s in downtown Santa Cruz and below freezing in outlying areas, especially in canyons where there's a little bit of wind from the north. If you have any way to get indoors the next few days, tonight and the next few days are really critical. If you see anybody outside who doesn't look like they have warm enough clothing or sleeping bags, help them out, because this is the time of year that people die from being homeless.
True enough, Dennis.
All right, Robert, we'll see you at 8.
Thank you. See you then.
Bye.
And that was Uncle Dennis, who does a show right after mine, as all you regular listeners know, from the cream to the dregs. It's music and commentary on environmental issues, which Dennis covers. And he's also keeping an eye on the stream of my show, which has pretty regularly gone off the air, though I think it's usually on Sunday mornings that that happens. But I think it's also happened on Thursday evenings. I'm darkly wondered if that's a conspiracy, something intentional, or just who knows. Maybe I'm bringing in the wrong kind of electricity into the studio, or who knows what. Anyway, I'm glad that the stream is on. And for all of you who have wanted to hear past shows and then tried to go to the Huff website, which archives these shows, huffsantacruz.org, when we go to later shows, you'll get some garbledygook, which isn't really a show at all, but is posing as a show under the date of the show. What you need to do is go back and try another link. If you look under the name of the show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, on the Huff website, and go to what's called the descriptions page, you will actually get to the shows, which we actually have had to post afterwards, often a day or two late. Tip of the hat to Swami for his good work in this regard, posting those audio file shows. You can hear those shows if you were unable to hear them at the time because the stream went down, or you were too busy doing something else, or possibly for some unforgivable reason you missed the show. You can go there and you can find the shows. And you can also find descriptions of the shows as soon as I get them up, which is often weeks later, but still, hopefully, many descriptions do go up. Again, that's on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org. Click on Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, the rather tongue-twisty name of the show, and then go to descriptions. Although, often, and hopefully from here on out, unless there's a problem, if the stream doesn't go down, you can find them when you go to latest shows on that website. That's for all you loyal listeners who have been wondering how you can hear past shows. We've been playing some audio from Monday, December 2nd, I think it is. It's the 2nd, today's the 5th. So actually it's the 1st, let's see, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. No, it's the 2nd, where I was doing interviews at the Red Church. We were talking with a guy who I was recommending check out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center and get on the waiting lists of either the Pauley Loft or the River Street Shelter. Not because there's any chance of getting in out of the cold, although there may be, when it's rainy nights, I've been told, the hardcore smiling mistress of the Homeless Lack of Services Center, Monica Martinez, does allow the shelter, or perhaps her underlings, allows the overhangs to be open and people to sleep there, even though this, I don't know, violates this or violates that or isn't whether normal procedure. But in the rain, it's considered a little something different, unlike downtown, where if you dare to try to stand or sit under an awning, according to a former host or hospitality worker, they are instructed to drive you out into the rain, or they were several years ago. Maybe they become more humane. I kind of doubt it. I think things are going in the other direction. I did try to find out, as I mentioned before this phone call, whether, in fact, the Homeless Lack of Services Center is obeying the law, or should say, rather, the district attorney is obeying the law and the Homeless Lack of Services Center is properly informing people about the law. The law does state, the city's municipal code, the same one that gives us the infamous sleep after 11 outsider in a vehicle and on much private property, get a ticket for $150, although that's with all the added court assessments. The actual fine supposedly is $20, and how that gets to be $156, I have no idea, but that's what homeless people who have gotten such tickets and gotten to court or gone to the court window to pay the amount have told me is how much it costs, $156. I requested of her last night, and I requested of the Homeless Lack of Services Center last week to know whether homeless people are getting their tickets dismissed if they go in and sign up for the waiting list. It's not going to save you from freezing, but I guess it might save you from convictions for sleeping after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz City against the wishes of the cruel city machine that has been doing this for decades, long before Take Back Santa Cruz even thought of it. So that was told by Chris of the Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I've mentioned in past, I think I'm in the previous show, that as far as he knows, they will not dismiss your tickets unless the armory is full, and then they will, which is a violation of the law, because if you read Municipal Code 6.36055, you'll find it says your tickets for sleeping, camping, or covering up with blankets, any ticket in the 6.36 camping section will be dismissed if you have signed up for the Homeless Lack of Services Center, Paul Lee Loft, or the River Street Shelter. That's or if the armory is full. It's or, not and. So they are misinforming people. I expected Chris to get back to me. He didn't. I tried to raise the issue with merry but malicious Monica Martinez at the city council meeting on Tuesday when she was there to observe the task force proceed with its anti-homeless nastiness and the city council to unanimously endorse it. But she wouldn't give me an answer. We're going to hear more from that meeting, and we're going to hear some more from the Red Church. The interviews will be proceeding, and you can call in if it's December 5th. You will go on the air, if you so wish, 427-3772. If you want to catch me off air, it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833, as many of you already know.
Citation you got, and again, we're talking with
Cassandra Terwilliger.
And this is under 4451A, illegal camping. It must be perhaps a state law.
Within Santa Cruz, it is illegal to have a blanket over your legs or any part of your body in the daytime.
Well, perhaps in his world,
we were actually having conversation about where the best coffee in town was at that time, and we were both wide awake, and it was too cold. The fog, as I said before, the fog was so thick that we were debating if it was even warm enough to stand up and move about. This was at 9 a.m.
Hmm. Court, yeah, this is in Lighthouse Field.
Does it say 9 a.m. on this citation?
It does, but again, this is we have to look at this. You have to look at the state ordinance or the parks ordinance, 4451A.
We had nothing out of our backpacks. They were completely closed. Our dog was sitting there on his leash tied to us. He is a service animal. And the only thing that we had out was the blanket over only portions of our legs. And we were in the sitting position, leaned up against a tree.
Hey, look at this. What, new board members, perhaps? Is that okay?
I have no problem with that.
And this is actually, we've skipped ahead about an hour. After the Red Church meal at 7 o'clock, there was the monthly meeting of the American Civil Liberties Union, local American Civil Liberties Union's board of directors. And they had a pretty full board there, although I think the chair, Peter Geldblum, to my relief, wasn't there. And Steve Plaich, Politico Plaich, as I may take to calling him, was chairing the meeting. And we were given a period of time to speak during oral communication, a generous period of time, but we were not allowed. We were directed to leave the meeting afterward. In fact, I'm posting some photos that Becky Johnson took, as well as her commentary about that meeting. We actually announced at the Red Church that we were going to the ACLU meeting, invited people to come along to demand that the ACLU start dealing with the homeless issues that have been presented to it repeatedly and that it is repeatedly ignored. It doesn't give any explanation, doesn't give any reason. It says it's going to a subcommittee. It says it'll think about it later. It thanks you very much. And then you never hear anything else from the ACLU. If you send them an email, you don't get a response except, oh, very interesting. And that can be infuriating to those of us who are working and struggling in this field to restore basic human rights for people in Santa Cruz who are outside or poor. And it strikes me, of course, as always has, as monumental hypocrisy by the local ACLU. But then again, it's the same kind of hypocrisy you get from the liberal members of the Santa Cruz City Council, like Don Lane, who, while mouthing homeless, pro-homeless rhetoric, vote for anti-homeless laws, support the sleeping ban and other laws that essentially respond to create a kind of perception crime. If somebody regards a homeless person as a nuisance, is made uncomfortable by their presence, that becomes something worthy of legislating against and excluding homeless people from areas because of. And that's really the key issue in this public safety task farce, as I call it, that has been running on, I think it's been running on city money, because it's getting city staffing for sure, and city buildings are there, and city are recording and so forth. And it's a farce because it doesn't really concern itself with public safety. It concerns with redefining the presence of homeless people engaging in survival behavior as a lack of public safety, which I understand that's the notion of people who feel they have a right to exclude poor people from their neighborhoods, their public spaces, their downtown area. They have a right to pretend everybody is just as well off as they are, and if they're not, they damn well better not be seen in their neighborhoods because they'll be accused of numerous crimes, or at least they'll make people nervous and afraid they're going to commit numerous crimes. But that, of course, has nothing to do with, I think, if you like to go back to that old document, the Constitution, that I was kind of poo-pooing in a prior show, since it's not enforced for poor people generally. And it was created, you know, by white male slave owners for a certain class of people. But there's still some damn good ideas and also some common sense basic rights in there, which a lot of the community, I think, still agrees with. And we'll have to see how that works in the coming months ahead. Anyway, this is the ACLU meeting, which at a prior Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting, the civil rights group I work with, Becky Johnson, who's a longtime activist, proposed and got the endorsement of Huff over my, I think I stood aside, or I don't think I voted against it, but I stood aside because I don't see any point in trying to get anything out of the American Civil Liberties Union. I think we should be spending our time trying to get attorneys who actually might do something, or organizing our own legal workers, or doing that kind of stuff. But it's also true that exposing the hypocrisy of the ACLU is a way of letting the community know just what's going on with its phony, baloney, pseudo-liberal bullshit, while homeless people are freezing to death and getting harassed and threatened with guns, as we heard Jasmine Byron was, thanks to Officer Hernandez for trying to take a plate of food out of the Salvation Army on November 26th. Richard Hardy slammed to the sidewalk in handcuffs by Officer Vasquez. No consequences for these officers, as far as we know. No indication that there's actually even been a concluded investigation in the case of Vasquez. Anyway, the ACLU hasn't chosen to take up any of these cases, or even the broader issues of the right of a homeless person to sleep, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere, something that ACLUs and other cities have. Anyway, this is a long time, tired, endlessly repeated fact. And here you hear some folks talking to the board of the ACLU at the oral communications period with the same, I don't want to say they have the same glazed look that city council members have when they listen to public comment, or the same, I'm so interested, but then I'll just ignore it, unless, of course, it corresponds with the pressure group that brought the ordinance, or the staff group that brought the whatever measure they have to their attention in the first place. Pretty similar, actually, because there's a defensiveness here. I think that's why the ACLU has taken now to closing its meetings, which is a break from their past policies. And we're going to hear some more of that right now. Unless, of course, you call in with a phone call, 427-3772, in which case we'll stop in our tracks and talk to you.
You said you were refused access. You were told not to use the bathroom.
Yes, I was in the bathroom trying to take care of personal hygiene, and I was told by a female officer, I did not catch her name, that the bathrooms were closed. And I asked, well, what time do they close? And she said, you need to get out of here, in a very abrupt tone. I left not wanting any problems. I was across the street enjoying the fire dancing and the hula hoops. And at that point, an officer sat in the parking lot in his vehicle, in a black and white car, for approximately 20 minutes observing the entire crowd. And there was two officers, I did not see their entire uniform, but it was very dark, walking through with flashlights through the park across the street. They all closed in approximately the same time. The two officers that were across the street stayed at the tree line. The one officer got out of his car and came and began harassing the fire dancers, asking them to go, and not being real specific about where they could go. And then the harassment of the rest of the crowd continued by that same officer as the other two came across into the crowd. At that point, my boyfriend Eric and I left the area to avoid being harassed.
And actually, I had thought this was the ACLU meeting. The ACLU meeting is coming up shortly. This is about half an hour before the ACLU meeting, I think still at the Red Church. And this is about the closing down of the fire dancers, which I was told by several people has been a Santa Cruz tradition for decades, every week. Now they have been shut down without any clear explanation, similar to, it's a sort of like the tightening grip on the throat of the social freedoms in Santa Cruz, I guess with an eye to making sure that the town is, as one letter writer wrote to the Sentinel in today's Sentinel, no longer weird, but just colorful. And perhaps the colors better not be too bright for the folks who are doing the squeezing around the throat of the freedoms, traditional freedoms in Santa Cruz. Something we have to look at, something we have to really, I think, stand up against. Let's hear some more.
And we've been talking with
Cassandra Terwilliger.
Thanks, Cassandra. We're, of course, in the ACLU pre-meeting phase. We have the board is sitting up its chairs, and we have Jackie, Mike, I guess Israel, a new member. Are you on the board?
Yeah. I am a candidate member.
You're a candidate member. So you're officially invited to come in, unlike other members of the public who are generally excluded from these meetings, at least recently.
As far as I know, yes.
Right.
But I...
And that's Mithril, who is a strong supporter of the Santa Cruz 11, a tireless worker in the Occupy movement when it was moving. And now a person I suspect recruited by Steve Plaich to join his coterie on the board of directors of the ACLU and perhaps other groups. Nothing wrong with trying to get some political power by getting people on the board of directors of the different organizations. I think Steve is also on a racism coalition and a couple of other groups, and he's inviting other people to come in and join with an eye to ousting the old guard. At least that was what we were told about a year and a half ago regarding the ACLU when he made his presentation at the Huff meeting. However, it's become clear over the last year and a half that Steve does not present local homeless issues and concerns in a straightforward, consistent, and clear way, seeking to hold the ACLU to at least the same standard of other ACLUs throughout the state. And my understanding as to why this is the case, and it's speculative, is because he doesn't want to offend people in power, that he wants to sort of slip into power, and then when he's got everything in place, then all the changes can be made. And I have always thought this approach is problematic at best, because one is likely to be changed as one proceeds down this, climbs this ladder to political power. In any case, again, actually, so you weren't listening to the Red Church. I misspoke again. We're listening to interviews in the room of the ACLU before the meeting actually formally began. It's held, I think it was held in room 2 or room 3 of the Loudon Nelson Center. And that happens every fourth Monday of the month at 7 o'clock, as I understand it. Let's hear some more.
Didn't create that policy.
You certainly didn't. I'm not holding you accountable for that. But this guy clearly is a suspicious looking type.
I don't have cards on me.
Sure does.
So nobody knows whether people are going to be here or not. Do you notify the board that you're going to be here?
There you go. Here's
what?
Pencil.
It's Steve Plage calling the meeting to order.
People who were swept out of greenbelt and parkland.
This is Becky Johnson speaking during the oral communications period of the ACLU meeting.
And other places where they were living through economic necessity and no other reason. And yet these people were moved along to nowhere. We do not have the shelter space for them. So there's no lawsuit against the sleeping ban. Let me remind you, it is illegal to sleep in the city of Santa Cruz between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. anywhere out of doors or in a vehicle. That's a legally parked, licensed, insured vehicle. It is a crime. What sense does it make to give a homeless person a $162 fine for sleeping when they can't afford $80 for a motel room? Makes no sense at all. It's inhuman, it's cruel, and you this board should have had a resolution against this 20 years ago. It was passed in 1978. Where were you in 1978?
I was about
5 years old. Well, I think that I don't know how long the ACLU of Santa Cruz County has.
And that's a little joke they make when they heard her comment. I wasn't born yet, said one person, I think, something to that effect.
Incorporated.
It was around in 1978.
But there has never been a resolution from the ACLU board in Santa Cruz County against the sleeping ban. It's also illegal to use a blanket between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. anywhere out of doors. It's legal in a vehicle.
Our camping tickets that were illegal camping was for having a blanket out of doors at 9 a.m. Please note that she just said...
This is Cassandra.
I understand and have advocated against that law personally for some period of time. However, we're talking about our inaction as a board. So that's what Becky is really speaking to.
That's
a good point. Absolutely. Yeah, Becky, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. Police brutality. We've had a number of instances where... Donna Dice had her arm broken by a police officer. We had another situation where a man had his face slammed into the sidewalk and knocked unconscious for 7 minutes, bleeding profusely. He was in handcuffs.
Richard Hardy.
And we have that on videotape, and it's posted on YouTube. And then just Tuesday, this incident at the Salvation Army, just to name a few instances that have come up recently that this board has taken no action on. Ben, where's your opposition against the laws against art, music, and gathering, public assembly? Peaceable public assembly was cut in half last Tuesday. And we had, thank you, Ron, for coming out and speaking out, but as he said, it had not been vetted. This board had not considered it. It wasn't even on the radar of this board that this was going down. And thanks to Ron for coming out and speaking, but he did not speak on the behalf of your board because this board has done nothing. Finally, sorry about the emphasis there, resolution, trash cans and statues. Trash cans and statues have protections against them now. You can't set up a musician or an art display or a political table within, 12 feet of a, 14 feet of a trash can or a statue. How come statues and trash cans have more rights in Santa Cruz than people?
And the point here is that there are so many 14-foot forbidden zone areas that only about, 3 to 5% of the sidewalk is available for any kind of display of jewelry, artwork, music, political table, flyering, if you're seated and have any kind of display device. And that means, essentially, it severely constricts your ability to be on the sidewalk, whereas merchants can seemingly put up their commercial shit wherever they want. Although, again, I have not specifically looked into the commercial signs, whether they're permitted or not, and what the actual, whether they're following the regulations and what the nature of the commercial display regulations are, and how closely, whether they're more constrictive than the non-commercial. Well, I think they're obviously less so. But the issue seems to be, I mean, I just notice casually far more commercial signs on the sidewalk. And it is also true that people are ignoring these laws. And there's an article about this in this week's Weekly, the Santa Cruz Weekly, by Georgia Perry. And that's true, but the laws are there ready to swoop down on people the minute the police or a disgruntled merchant decides they want to go after any particular person. So there's really no security here at all for street performers, artists, tablers, and so forth. And the minute that these tickets start to be given, you're going to see either a mass flight or confrontation. And neither of these things is good.
This is all your responsibility to call these things out and hold up the constitutional rights and equal enforcement of the law. These are selectively enforced laws. And the police came out with a homelessness study session last April that said that 42% of the arrests and 32% of citations are of homeless people in this city. Let me remind you that the homeless population is somewhere between 1 and 3% of the population. So these are selectively enforced against homeless people. I appreciate what you're going to do tonight with considering the Palo Alto law. That's the least you can do, is to enforce somebody else actually doing some action. Thank you.
And what the ACLU was considering, I think what they actually ended up doing, is supporting a lawsuit undertaken by attorneys in Palo Alto against the new law Palo Alto City Council passed this summer, which I and others spoke against, which makes it criminal to habitate a vehicle. This is arguably worse than the Santa Cruz law, which does allow you to be in a vehicle, even to live in a vehicle, provided you don't sleep in your vehicle after 11 o'clock at night. You're even allowed to cover up with a blanket, something you're not allowed to do on freezing cold nights like tonight, when it's illegal to cover up with a blanket after 11 o'clock at night. Just as long as you keep your watch on and got your time straight, just make sure you wait until 8:30 in the morning to what's called set out bedding. Here's more from the ACLU meeting on Monday.
Next. I would like to speak to the board. I'll make it as brief as possible. My first question was, has any of the public citizens filed a redress of grievances against the Santa Cruz Police Department yet?
Well, the purpose for communications for you to communicate to the board, we generally don't respond to individual questions, but I'm sure somebody would be more than happy to talk to you about that.
It was just a general idea.
Yeah.
Also,
and it's interesting. This is you're hearing the standard rote mechanical statement from the chair, Steve Plaich, and you often hear it from city council chair, in this case, Mayor Hillary Bryant. That they're not allowed to respond to questions or comments during the period when the public is speaking. This isn't true, of course. They can and do respond, and so can the ACLU board. But it was done on three occasions. People who wanted to respond were shut down from responding, which meant, of course, that there could be no real dialogue, no back-and-forth exchange, no meaningful exploration of any of these issues with members of the public who are there, which, of course, is quite to the point because these issues have been presented to the ACLU around homeless civil rights violations repeatedly and in detail over the last two decades, and the ACLU has made it a point not to address them. A lot of this has to do with, I think, their political entanglement with the city council, city authorities, Mike Rotkin, this longtime board member, and Becky Johnson writes a bit about that on a story on the Santa Cruz Indie Media, which you can find soon. I'm about to post it. She took some photos. In fact, that was the whole purpose of this protest, supposedly, was not to come with the expectation the ACO would do anything, because it never has, and there's no indication it will, to me, even though they support actions in other cities, which is nice, but has nothing to do with what's happening here, but has to do with rather exposing them. And, well, they've been kind of, I think, overexposed. We know they're what they are. The question is, how can we find somebody who is what they aren't?
Well, I'm not asking for any help on mine personally. I'm just expressing the things I've seen in the short time that I've been here. I've been here 8 days. I was originally passing through, and I had been here 17 years ago visiting. I experienced, as well as my boyfriend, being cornered by three police officers and being screamed vulgarities at for walking down the street at the boardwalk. I've had a ticket for illegal sleeping after the times when it's legal to be sitting there with the blanket, because they've considered that illegal camping. And I've also experienced other attempts by the police department to hinder our ability to do anything about illegal activities being committed against us. I wanted to make you guys aware that this is a major issue, and people like me who are just passing through are taking notice of this. It's inhumane.
Thank you.
Of course, the point is that the city authorities want the homeless travelers and poor people to take notice and stay away, unless you have the money to stay in the hotels, and or unless you keep such a low profile that nobody sees you most of the time, or at least at night. Because, you know, you might scare the perceptually, emotionally challenged NIMBYs who have become a toxic force in Santa Cruz over the last 2 years.
Well,
I'm Sandra Shirley Terwilliger. Thank you.
Robert can give you my information. I'd be happy to talk to you individually. I was a member of the board, but I'm a member of the Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project, and I'd be happy to do that. Robert?
That's Steve Plate saying that, you know, he'll give you, I'll give them or their his information. He runs the Homeless Persons Legal Project. But again, this is something that I think, I've not heard that Steve has been helpful with people at all in the last 6 months. He may well have been, but he hasn't called the show. He hasn't responded to phone calls. And I call him pretty regularly. For example, right now I'm giving him a call to get an update. And we'll see if he answers. If the past 2 months is any example, we're not going to get him on the air, because he's running for political office. He's not. His main purpose is not to engage in civil rights defense of poor people, even though he has formed, or did form 2 years ago, the Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project. But I don't think we're going to find him tonight. But, hey.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
This is what we usually get, an answering machine.
Steve Plate
is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Steve Plaich, this is Robert on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, giving you a call about 10 to 7 on December 5th. The phone number here, as you may remember, is 427-3772. And I've been informing the community that you and your Homeless Legal Assistance Project, which you said would be very helpful to, or would be willing to speak with and help out, Sandra Terwilliger, woman who spoke at the ACLU meeting on Monday. But we haven't heard from you for so long. I've tended to suggest that perhaps you've discontinued the project, and perhaps you're no longer doing anything. If you want to give us all an update on what's happening, whether people's tickets are still being dismissed out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, if they're on the waiting lists, or anything concerning homeless people's civil rights, love to hear from you. 427-3772. Thanks. And I don't think we're going to hold our breath on that one, but you never can tell what's going to come up next. Here's some more from the ACLU meeting on Monday.
Hey, Bob.
And that, when my hey, Bob indicated that another member, the board member, who was supposed to be working with Lee, an outspoken activist on the street who's occasionally heard in interviews on this show and who writes very scathingly, sometimes of me and other activists, very much a critic of poverty pimps and a social critic in Santa Cruz, longtime resident, who Bob was supposed to be working with Lee on dealing with civil rights abuses, and no such thing has happened. Bob Terran is a longtime activist around some issues. I understand he's helped a lot of individual people around getting disability and social security benefits, and I don't have any stats on that, but I'm so informed that I don't want to in any way take away from Bob Terran's work in that regard. But his failure to take action around civil rights at the local ACLU level or stand up and advocate in any meaningful way is simply unquestionable. It's just the case, along with the rest of this board. So let's hear some more, and then hopefully we'll move on to something a little less depressing. Although, I admit, the show can be pretty depressing.
That she spoke of. I mean, we were committing no crime.
This is Cassandra's boyfriend traveling with her, talking again about the incident that happened. One of the incidents was at Lighthouse Field, or thereabouts, one of the parks up there, a state park. They expressed concern that they were told they couldn't be in a park covered up with a blanket at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is under a different rule than the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban, which does presumably also cover the park, because it's in the city as well. Also, however, you know, there's multiple jurisdictions there. But the reality of this kind of clear focusing on homeless people's survival behavior being criminal is disgraceful, abusive, unconstitutional, inhumane, costly, counterproductive. I could think of a variety of adjectives that I think really cover it. But it's something that where prejudice is king here, which is often the case with racism, sexism, other deeply ingrained prejudices. We now face this homeless-a-phobia, which is particularly toxic on cold nights.
However, we were here maybe a day or two, walking up the street at about 11 o'clock at night, and we had three officers for us, and on top of that, within 5 minutes, there were three more coming out of the side alleys, you know, like a gang. And, you know, they're accusing her of defecating in public, which she had not done. Told her to shut the F up, and when I questioned why he was speaking to my girlfriend that way, I was told to shut the F up. Otherwise, they were going to commit physical violence against us.
Robert?
And Steve Plaich is, again, moving things along. You know, you think if the ACLU is interested, and they have on past occasions when we've given oral communications, though, again, this doesn't go anywhere, but some members of the audience actually asked for details. I think Bob Terran went into detailed questions 3 months before when I brought an activist to the ACLU meeting, activist, just a guy who was told he couldn't carry... He couldn't have a sign in the library. It was a political sign that he had sort of sitting next to him as he was reading. And he was told that that would violate library rules, which, of course, is ridiculous. He said he would have to apply to post the sign on a bulletin board. And that was the only way he could have the sign in the library. Now, I haven't yet started carrying my signs into the library, which I think I'll start doing. Although I tend to space these things out, I think we just need to all go into the library with signs. I mean, because this kind of presumption of autocracy that we're supposed to bow down to, bend over for, it's sickening in more senses than one. Because it sickens us when we start either ignoring it as it impacts and victimizes other people, but it also makes us all afraid. More from the ACLU meeting. This is my presentation.
So, Free Radio Santa Cruz will be back on the air on Thursday. We've been on the stream, and every
Thursday and Sunday, I tend to try to record and present these kinds of accounts from people who you can choose to believe them or not. I'm sure there's more to the story. There's always more to the story. But the real story, as you know, is that the rubric of public safety is being used to criminalize homeless people and rouse hysteria against homeless people in Santa Cruz. That's coming up tomorrow night at City Council. We're going to be having a meal there at 6:30. Joe Schultz is providing food. Maybe a sleep out that night. Hard to say what's going to come of that. It would be meaningful if the ACLU started making some public statements, which it has refused to do for the last 25 years. And I've been here...
And that was Bob Tarrant saying, let me stop you right there, which... You know, he had a different opinion. I'd like to have heard it. But he was interrupted by Chair Steve Plaich, which would not allow him to speak, even though I asked that he be allowed to do so. Too bad.
Okay, no. I don't mind. Bob, I don't mind, Bobby. Go ahead.
It's simply not appropriate. That's not what we do. I'll appreciate it.
And there you have the authoritarian side of Steve Plaich, who... banned me from his website for 4 months because I posted a video showing abusive behavior by Ken Collins toward a homeless man with his cleanup team, or clean-em-out team, as I like to call it. And I have an authoritarian streak, too, so I can't quite be too much pot-calling the kettle black without looking at my own color. But the fact of the matter is... when you're in a position of power in an organization, and you do that, as I've been accused of doing in my HEF meetings, it has a real impact. And in the ACLU, when Plaich does this, it stopped any dialogue and discussion with Bob Tarrant, who presumably was going to say that the ACLU has taken positions. And I'd like to know what positions the ACLU claims it has taken on homeless issues in the last 2 decades, because there are a couple of rather weak positions. One was a partial opposition to the Ryan Coonerty's parking lot panic law when expanded to the parking lots from the parking garages. Another was an opposition to the curfews on the levee 15 years ago. Another was an opposition to the curfew on Cowles Beach. Those are the only three I can think of offhand. They talked about opposing the median law, the law that says you can't hold a sign on a median, which was passed by City Council last year, again going after homeless panhandlers, but impacting all kinds of people who hold up political signs, who wish to be a part of a protest there when there are protests, as there regularly are in Santa Cruz on Ocean Street and on Water Street. ACLU, what's going on there? I didn't see Dennis Etler at the meeting, and Dennis is often a guy who is, I have to say, uncorrupted by the hope of joining a gang of politically connected people, I guess, which the ACLU board considers itself to be in some way, or all these other groups that Steve Plaich has joined up on to further his political campaign. So perhaps we can get some internal response. I'd love to, you know, be corrected that the ACLU has been doing some things that I've overlooked in terms of local civil rights for poor people issues. But I haven't been able to find anything. At least I haven't gotten any responses. And I'm still listening.
I don't mind a dialogue, and it would actually be rare to actually get a response from this board, because you let people come in here and have their 3 minutes, or in this case longer, speaking to you, which is a token effort, and then nothing happens. We present long letters are presented to you about the specifics, nothing happens. And part of this, I think, is because the political structure of this town is such that you don't want to take any action on any of the issues that we raise. The obvious one is the seizure and destruction of homeless property, which already has resulted in a successful $2.3 million lawsuit in Fresno. We know you don't have a lot of lawyers available necessarily, but if you make public statements, this can have an impact on at least some members of the police department, the city staff, maybe the city council, and it would put you in line with what other ACLUs are doing throughout the state and throughout the country. Not all of them, but certainly a number of them. Criminalizing homeless is the name of the game here in Santa Cruz. It'll be even more intensely done under Mayor Robinson. And I would be happy to... I'm sorry that Steve cut off, Bob, because, I appreciate dialogue on these issues and actually hearing a real human response, even an angry oppositional one, is preferable to the silence that this board is engaged in. If you want to know the specific resolutions that I'm seeking action on, you only have to consult your minutes for the last 9 months, actually the last 12 months. I sent you a letter detailing the issue, and I never got a response. I tried to get it sent out broadly to members of the ACLU. It was blocked and sent back to me, and I was not allowed to go out. So I'm just here, at Becky's request. I think you are pretty much a useless board insofar as your actions have shown you've done nothing on the most basic issue of homeless survival. Just a comment, a statement. You've refused to do it. And it really surprises me that some of you have also moved to close the meetings to people somehow wanting to meet in secret when you're not engaging in litigation and personnel activity. And I know you're not a public body, but you have acted. You have acted in the past to have meetings open. And that, to me, is a certainly a much more salutary approach. Thank you for allowing me to speak this period of time.
Thank you for coming and addressing us now, according to our bylaws. We ask you to please leave this debate in
the Do people want to leave? I will follow the majority, what they want to do. I think it'd be a better idea for people not to leave and have you folks, they'd have to be embarrassed into making trespass arrests at the ACLU board, as Mike Rotkin tried to have me arrested for carrying a sleeping band sign at a public hearing.
To observe our bylaws, I argued strenuously in Roberts for an open meeting. That's where we are right now.
What Steve is saying is that his bylaws state that it's a private meeting, and he tried to change the bylaws, and he got no support. And this is partially true, although I have never seen the bylaws, and I've sent Steve a request that he specify which bylaws are specifically ban the public from being there and don't allow the chair discretion to allow the public to stay, as was the case for the last three of the meetings I attended in the last year at the ACLU board. And it really is kind of, you know, again, rearranging deck chairs on the sinking ship, because why, you know, this is a useless board anyway. Why would you even want to hang out? But if you're going to be there, I'd like to see a semblance of transparency, accountability, and democratic process. And the less I see of that, the more pissed I get.
The basic rights should not be a contingent upon a majority of vote here, and your transparency and your accountability is in question, as you know, because you did make that attempt.
And I will take,
what's that?
Meetings are open, ACLU members.
So in other words, you have to pay to get into the meeting, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's $5 a year.
I know, but that means supporting the principles that you are ignoring. That's the problem.
Actually, it means ignoring the principles that they're ignoring if you're paying money to a group that does nothing. And I think that regarding me as obstreperous here is, well, probably am, in the sense that I'm raising issues they don't want to hear and briefly delaying my own exit. But this was supposed to be a protest, and protests that are done without any kind of real backbone are almost like mock protests. But again, you know, one does what one does, and perhaps we can hear some comments. If you had some experiences with the ACLU out there, or are there civil rights issues you think that need to be addressed that aren't being addressed, that you think we should form a new organization around? You have attorney friends who are suddenly willing to at least start looking into these issues and advising people how they can proceed to do some DIY, do-it-yourself legal support. Give a call, 427-3772. If you're listening to this on December 5th, then live, and you are streamed.